from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just choning on the junkies. Yeah, it's bit season, what a time to be alive. Season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Happy NFL kickoff day. It's bit season. I'm Drab T-shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
Should say happy crab kickoff day, Valdez.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all that no one remembers the genesis of how crab kickoff started.
I gotta be honest, I thought it was a Valdez concoction myself.
No.
It was a let's make an NFL opening day all about me.
No, it's not me. It's Eric. It's Eric's adventurous attitude of having crabs during the start of the NFL season. I don't know. It must have just overcome him. He must have been hungry that day, but he just couldn't stop talking about having crabs during the kickoff. And then we put two and two together, and we started making it an annual show.
So this was the 4th annual crab kickoff today. No crabs were had as far as breaking them open.
No shells, but we did have crab cakes.
We had crab cakes.
We overindulged.
Crab balls.
We overindulged in food, especially Drabby. That's right, Cork.
That was supposed to be a secret. We have a deal.
No, I'm projecting because I had a bite of the carrot cake.
There was some cupcakes. The guy brought in some cupcakes as well, and they were delicious. And I didn't want to insult him. He was hyping them up so much that
I know.
It would have been rude not to, Valdez.
Let me ask you a question. So we got these awesome crab cakes for breakfast. Chuck Lee put together these awesome sweatshirts for us.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything we need to add, or are we good with status quo?
Oh, I think every year we should be looking to add something. We didn't really add a lot this year, but the whole second half of the show, I mean, 8 o'clock, Dave Richard, 8:20 predictions, 8:40, part two of the predictions. Now it's 9 o'clock are the bold predictions. 9:20, Junkie Survivor Segment 1. 9:40, Junkie Survivor Segment 2. Let's take some calls on it. The last 2 hours, there's no wiggle room anymore.
I feel like, here's my thing, and I kind of put this on the rundown, that the crab kickoff show is kind of turning into the Christmas show. Don't you think so?
How so? What do you mean
by that? It's becoming kind of a spectacle. It's kind of like these, now we're having these staple segments, these tentpole segments that we kind of have when we do the drinking show about what's your favorite moment, ask Lurch anything, the gift exchange. Now we have the bold predictions, and you gotta bring your funny A game with the bold predictions like Drabby did today.
Oh, Valdez is Rick. Valdez is Rick that I already won the bold prediction by getting a laugh out of EB.
I'm not Rick. Why do you say that?
Yeah, you definitely are.
I'm not. Why do you say that?
There's no reason. I just know you. It's a battle for attention.
No, I'm just
who
I'm
can
just,
be the funniest.
Yeah, I'm just.
And today I was funnier than you.
Yeah.
And that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes, Valdez.
I'm mad that you outsmarted me on my bold prediction.
Hey, you had a good bold prediction about he beat Dan Quinn turning that dumb hat around,
and you just had a better one, didn't you?
I wound up to you with my bold.
How did you think of that one?
You know what?
That was right there in front of you.
Because I'm a big Belichick fan, and I've been lobbying him, and everybody's been waiting on pins and needles to find out who he's going to coach next and what's his next move. And I just
couldn't stop thinking of his young silly, right?
Yeah, and my specialty is my dream is old man, young girl. So,
so that was right
my
alley, wasn't it?
Yeah. Hey, Mike Marr was really impressed with the way I sold that bold prediction to.
What do you mean?
Because if you go back and listen to it. Hey, Grant. Grant's coming in.
Hey, Grant, you want to come do bit season? No?
What's up, boy?
I don't think that's a working mic, but what's up?
We got a late start today because of the crab kickoff.
Sorry, bud. Sorry.
You don't wear an extra small?
No. Go O's.
Go Birds.
All right.
Mike Marr was really impressed with the way I sold the... So my bold prediction, if you didn't hear it, was...
yeah, it's your bold prediction.
Was that... Bill Belichick becomes a new father, right?
Can you not remember it, or you need me to write it down again?
But the way I sold it, I was like, in January, it will be announced at the age of 72, Bill Belichick will be, and everyone's waiting, oh, what team is he going to coach? Yeah. And then I said, new father.
Team girl dad.
He goes, how'd you know how to do that and save the father part for the end?
I go,
Mike, I've been in radio a long time. It's my specialty.
That's funny.
But Valdez wants me to tell everyone. He wants me to tell everyone that was his.
I asked for help. I wish there was a live camera in that studio at 8 o'clock or 8:19 when Drive goes, oh shoot, I haven't done a bold prediction.
And he's looking around. And I'm thinking Geno Smith, I got nothing. Yeah.
Yes, and then I gotta come save the day save the day for Drive.
And it went over well.
Yes, I know. But are you with me in the fact that it feels like it's turning into the Christmas show a little bit?
Not really. Not as much as you, because
Richmond John's involved in both the crab kickoff.
Well,
and
isn't it a special show? Isn't that what we wanted out of the show?
Yeah.
That we wanted it to be different. We wanted it to be. Are you getting at the what do you guys got for us? Is that what you mean?
I'm kind of doing that. We've started drinking during the crab kickoff show.
I'd like to discuss that, actually. Who signed off on that?
I don't think that's allowed.
I don't think that was allowed. I don't think you're... Jason could have gotten in trouble for that.
It could have gotten a lot of trouble for that.
I don't know why. And maybe he said something earlier in the week, but I wasn't really thinking that he was serious. And then he just busted out a craft brew today and started drinking it.
By the way, something that you would put in a paper bag and walk around with.
That's because I know, like, our job is a joke. And everybody kind of knows that, but it's not really that different than if you just went to work and cracked open a beer in your cubicle and started drinking it.
If you wanted to,
without asking for permission.
Yeah, you wanted a Coors Light at lunch.
Maybe you guys could get away with that at your Christmas party yourselves if you got,
Or you have a company-wide, happy hour. You know how, you'll be working at 5 o'clock on Friday and then everyone goes into the kitchen and then they have, a beer in the fridge
But Bish just cracking open beer.
And by the way,
in the middle of the show,
at 8:30 in the morning.
That was just kind of weird. And
very weird.
It is a celebration day, but I probably should have got permission for that.
I would say so.
I didn't want to rick him because there was a tense moment early in the show today between EB and Bish. Did you pick up on? Well, I'm sure you did.
I did because
in fact,
we had to dump some of it.
Because they were giving out too much information about something we're doing and
we haven't really announced it.
We haven't announced it yet. So, but basically, we're going to be doing something with Monumental, and
Yeah, more so than what we do now, where we do our morning show and it's simulcasted. But the guys are in line to do some more stuff over at
Monumental. There's supposed to be some payments involved in it. And from the very big get-go, you guys already know, Bish doesn't want to do anything extra. He doesn't want to do anything out of his comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's kind of been stubborn about this whole thing that nobody really knows about. But then he's dying on this, we're not getting paid enough thing about it, which honestly, Valdez and I don't really know anything about. Like, that's their own business. They handle their own negotiations with that kind of stuff. But it came up on the air today. And then Bish was like, I'm not doing it for the amount of money that you do it for. And it just got kind of uncomfortable. And we were in there dumping it because they were giving out too much information.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be a light, fun show. And it just kind of got out. It started off a little awkward.
Yeah, definitely started out awkward. Personally, I feel like Jason doesn't want to, like you said, doesn't want to go above and beyond. And mm-hmm. and to Jason's credit, he's not required to do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand it. If you're not required to do it, why do you feel like you need to bend over backwards to do it? So I feel like it's almost like he's using this as his way to not do it.
As he said, he's demanding too much money because he knows this and hoping they say no.
And if at the end of the day they called his bluff on his demands, then he'll be happy. He's setting a unrealistic price.
That's
what I feel like is going on.
We would not be bringing this up on BitSeason, if it was on the show today. They were arguing about money on the side project they're working on with Monumental. So it was just kind of awkward, and we didn't really know what to say, and that's, I guess, between them. But it definitely got a little tense there for a minute. So thank God he busted out the brewskis to kind of chill out for a few minutes.
I think Jason was angry at Eric, but more so just the guys in general, to be like, hey, you guys are just...
You guys are with the flow, guys, and I'm not liking that.
Yeah, you guys just are going above and beyond to make people happy, and that's not required of you. And I think that's...
It was an interesting kind of inside look at their personalities there.
Do you know what really stuck with me?
What's that?
During that whole thing? I don't know, and I don't know if it made it through air or if it got dumped, but he kept saying, we're a team. You remember that?
I didn't hear that part.
Oh,
he kept saying we're a team?
He kept saying, we're a team. You want to do something, you want to do something for, and I don't want to do it, but we're a team.
Oof. We'll see more to come on that one. I don't really...
I think people might have their pants around their ankles. After that tease.
Anyways, I thought it was a fun crab kickoff today. Were you being over the top about your praise of the food?
No.
Like, I know you liked it, but...
No, I thought it was very good.
Your credibility is really on the line.
I thought it's very good. It's the best crab I've had in Virginia. Best crab cake I've had in Virginia.
That's pretty big time.
Look, I don't think it's as good as a Jimmy's crab cake or my mom's homemade crab cakes or Papa's. But it's a very, very, very well done crab cake. Why? You think I'm trying to angle for like free crab cakes?
Free spread or something. I already know that you're pretending to cook at home. So you're looking for more at home catering or something.
What are you going to do when I say, hey, look at this crab cake I made tonight?
You guys need to know something. I don't know what's going on in Valdez's life where he's hosting parties all the time, but he's pretending to be Bobby Flay at home and he's taking pictures of this clearly catered food, and he's going, look what I made this weekend, and it's professionally like cut up fillets and enough food to fill 20 people, and he's like, oh, just me and my friend, we're just hanging out and we just watched some college football. it looked so good. Valdez can't even hold a pencil properly, but I'm supposed to believe that he had this perfectly manicured food, or whatever the proper phrase is, looked beautiful, plated perfectly. It looked like something Rachel Ray would have done. What was on that platter? I can't even remember.
All right, hold on.
It was chicken wings for 40 people.
I had
me and Jack hanging out here.
I had I made honey Old Bay chicken wings.
Yeah.
All right. I had pork ribs. All right, the big mm-hmm. old country pork ribs.
I make my own tortilla chips.
You just said that one before.
Salsa and chips. Well, it's very easy to make your own homemade tortilla chips. Sure. Well, it is. All you got to do is deep fry it.
Okay.
What did I do? Oh, I had ham and cheese sliders on Hawaiian rolls, and then I dusted the top with honey butter. Oh, and then I had little mini cheeseburger sliders.
So what I think Valdez is doing is for these get-togethers that he's having, I think he's doing a Mrs. Doubtfire bit. I think he's ordering takeout, and he's from Keith Lee, and he's pretending that he made it himself and taking photos of it. He's plating it for attention. Time you order takeout, take a photo of it. Let the biddies see it. All right.
Well, I don't understand this. Didn't I show you? I've shown you everything before. I've shown you multiple spreads.
I know now what he's doing, because I'm on to him. He's taking photos of pork shoulder at Harris Teeter and then showing me the food on the plate. And he's like, "See, here it is in the store. Here it is on my plate."
I don't know why I'm trying to appease Drab and seek his approval, but I don't know what it is. It's like a challenge for you to believe me that the fact that I'm having this food.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So now I'm taking before and after pictures, and you still doesn't believe me.
I need to see in progress photos. I need to see you in front of the smoker. All right. Anyways, I like the Crab Kickoff Show. It is still one of my favorite. I might like it more than the drinking show.
I think
the drinking
I like it more.
Show is just too much stress and we just felt let down a few times. And you know, maybe it's not we're getting the reaction that we want. The football show, Crab Show, more laid back. Everyone's giddy about tonight. To me, it's not the same because there's just less pressure on it.
I would agree with you on that.
And we got a lot. We have a lot to do. So
you know, it's so weird. So like the drinking show, it's like Jason doesn't want to do the drinking show because he doesn't want to get drunk and feel bad.
And then he wanted to drink today.
And now Eric doesn't want to do the football show. Like Jason doesn't want to do the drinking show.
It's kind of too much planned out. Your dream show. Hey, I got to tell you something. Yesterday, Eric came up to me after the show, after a three-day work week, all right?
All right.
And he goes, "Hey, walk with me." And we're walking to the door, and he goes, "How about some props?" And I go, "Why? What's going on?" And he goes, "I've been on fire this week." He goes, "I am on my A game. I've been absolutely killing it. Are you noticing this, Drab?" And he was looking for his back padding machine off there.
Hey, you're his back padding machine.
And you know what?
You're his personal back padding machine.
This was on... I hyped him up.
When was this? Was this yesterday?
This was yesterday. And remember,
so this was after the going through the schedule.
They're the Bucks. They're the Cardinals. Yeah.
Then you won in a scab season.
Yeah.
You had a kicker win an MVP.
And look, that was after the caller. Remember, we had a caller. I don't remember his name, but he called in and hyped EB up as well and said, "Dude, you're on fire this week. You're looking better. You're looking great.
You got color in your face.
You're funny." And I was like, "You know what, Eric? You have been. You kind of have been killing it this week. Where is that all the time? Why can't I get that EB all the time? Why do we have to be?"
Maybe he's well rested.
First off, I don't ever. No, it's football. Like, he's excited about football.
Do you think it's... No. The caller theorized that it was Jaden Daniels' aura. That was...
Oh, he's excited about JD, the new
kid. No. It's not just... It's JD's aura. He has aura.
But he won't... Even if JD plays well this weekend, this is the night before Christmas, right?
Okay.
So he's giddy, kind of excited
to unravel
the present.
Yeah. Unwrap his Jaden package.
Yeah. So next week he won't be, even if he's good, he won't be as engaged.
No, I think it will be because it aligns with his prediction.
All right. So then prediction. If Jaden has a dud and they lose to the Bucks.
Okay.
And he's meh. Will we get sleepy EB next week?
Yeah, we'll get sleepy
EB. Big yawning during the show.
Yeah, we'll get sleepy EB.
Leaning back in his chair.
Yeah, but if they lose and Jaden is great, or if they win, if they win, Jaden's mediocre and better. If they lose and Jaden looks great, then you'll get fired up EB.
Right.
That's my prediction.
Or maybe he's... What's with the, I don't understand. I'm kind of not, I'm not half listening. I just don't understand. What is with all these people coming into town? I feel like people have been coming into town weeks now.
Yeah, he's been getting ready for
Is this all one thing? And how many people are coming to his house? Maybe that's why he's excited.
Didn't you say 50 people?
We did a horrible job of digging into that. Like, why is he having all these people at his house?
Put this on the notes on the rundown tomorrow. Okay. Because the people are coming over today.
These people from Tampa, they just happen to be coming from Tampa.
Yeah, they're coming from Tampa. I've never heard Eric in my life mention Tampa.
I know.
Right?
Doesn't he say just trash on Tampa?
Yeah, Vinny and Joe are New Yorkers.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in, I don't know who is from Tampa.
Tweet us if you know who these people are and why they're, maybe he said it on the show and I just haven't heard it, but why are so, I thought they were, it was like Dina's family, but then he said, my friends from Tampa.
And didn't he say, I swear I thought I heard he's going to have up to 50 people in his house at some point.
So I think he maybe is excited about that.
That's a fair point. Fair point. Also, he took a bunch of crab cakes for all of them.
That's kind of nubs. But no. She tells you it's good.
Yeah.
Tweet us, because I have no idea what any of this Tampa stuff is. But I like the crab kickoff show. I thought it was successful today. I like the little change up of the sweatshirt that we did. Hopefully we see the guys wearing it. You kind of hypothesized that they won't wear it because it says Junkies on it.
I think they'd wear it in here. I don't know if they'd wear it out.
Will you be wearing it out?
Definitely.
You'll wear it out. Don't have any shame?
No, I have no shame. I'm going to wear it to the golf course and hopefully.
I might put a request in for like a heavy duty hoodie one as well. Every time I say that, every time, let me break you down. Why are you so scared to ask Chuck for an extra hoodie?
I don't know.
When I ask for extra size, this is one of your best friends. I don't even know. Send this clip to him and say, this is Drab wanted you to hear this.
He'll hear it.
Okay. Chuck, you're amazing. You do great stuff. You're a big part of the show. We love mentioning you. Can we get a couple extra hoodies, extra sizes? Everybody wants, one more, or maybe a hoodie version. Valdez is afraid to ask because he doesn't want to upset you and not get a hero bill at Hyde. But since I mean, you don't really hang out much, even though I like you, I'm not afraid to ask. What's the name of his business again? Plug.
Get DAS.
Get DAS. For all your printing needs.
Printing needs. You need your company's logo and a Stanley.
Makes great, great shirts for us. And made the whole logo, everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, he made the logo. You kind of showed him a vision and he ran with it.
Right. I know what's cutting edge.
You're right. You're hip.
Right.
I'm a square. You're hip.
All right. Well, let's talk about a couple things on the other.
I want to talk about the elephant in the room that happened yesterday. About JP showing up late.
All right.
Are we ever going to have any kind of punishment? I feel like we do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's nonchalant about breakfast. Breakfast is just not a punishment anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
yeah, remember we discussed this. It was supposed to be $20 the first time, $40, $80, up to $100, whatever it was.
It's just,
and it's on us too. And I even brought that up on air, and I said, JP, the last time he was late, I said, JP, breakfast is, it wasn't even the last time. It was like 3 times ago, which was about 3 months ago. I said, hey, breakfast clearly isn't a deterrent for you. We got to step it up, and we came up with
basically a fine, because I feel like that is the only way to create a deterrent is hit them in the pocket.
I'm going to be honest. I don't like, and EB was couching everything because he was getting ahead of it by saying, JP just going to say I'm late to segments all the time.
But
I kind of think it's embarrassing that EB is late to segments, right?
I know I have that in the rundown with it.
But that is 100 times more forgivable than actually being late to work. There's a big difference.
Yes, I feel like in a hierarchy of what's worse, not being there at the start of the show is worse off than lollygagging around the hallways.
Say this. Say you're a cashier, right? You're working at Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
A, you're late to work, right? You show up 15 minutes late to work, mm-hmm. or you're off your register for a few minutes because you're playing, you're flirting with a girl in the hallway, you know, a coworker, or you're playing grab ass with one of your boys.
You see a hot girl walking down the lumber aisle. You leave your post unattended for a few minutes.
To me, those are way different. EB's leaving his post unattended for a few minutes. He's kind of being lollygagging.
Yeah, but to JP's defense, if that's constant, then all of a sudden that becomes a problem.
I know, for instance, being actually late to work, I don't know, for some reason, it's just way more egregious to me. Maybe it shouldn't be. Maybe they should be on the same level. Or what about a college football guest, right?
Okay.
And the guys just take segments off. Is that any different than JP being late? Where they just say, this isn't my comfort zone.
This is Jason's, Brent Prize on the line. This is Jason's hockey guest
and Jason doing this, the flicking the fingers at cakes. Like, you take it.
There's something more.
Where do we draw the line?
There is something more outrageous about not showing up, like, for the mm-hmm. start.
Yeah.
That's just. In the hierarchy of things, that just seems more penal.
What about when Valdez gets his food every day at 8 o'clock in the middle of a segment and says, "Mari, watch the board."
That's in the middle of the guest. I leave my post.
I think all those things are way minor compared to
just not being here.
Not caring enough about the show.
Yes, that's honestly what it is.
Or just
like, for instance, there are certain guests and maybe certain segments that the guys don't care about. You know what I mean? If we have Brent Pry on, Eric isn't going to care as much as when we do the entertainment page.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's just is what it is. But in terms of not showing up in general, it's almost a combination of not caring and just like it's almost disrespectful because all of us got here on time, right?
I can't quite put my finger on it. I'm going to be honest with you, because the more and more I think about it, it seems just as bad of EB not just coming back halfway through a segment, which enrages us too. It's tough to separate them. For whatever reason,
since it's at the start of the show, it seems bigger. It's almost like 51-49.
I know,
can
he just leave his house earlier? I don't understand. Why can't he just leave his house earlier? Why is this a constant problem? It's not like he's oversleeping. He's up taking showers, doing his hair, make himself look good, make sure his clothes are ironed or whatever he does in the morning. Why can't he just leave 10 minutes earlier, in case there's a runaround? It's not like he's very rarely 30 minutes late, right? It's always 7 minutes late for the show because there was a little bit of traffic. It happens.
Yeah. Look. If you get boned because there's an accident and you're an hour late for the show, that's almost more acceptable.
100% agree.
That's more acceptable than being 4 minutes late.
100%. If you're stuck in the road shut down, there's a death on the beltway.
There's a jumper on the bridge.
Dude, I get it. There's nothing you can do about that. You're stuck there for an hour. But it's the 15 minute delays. It's the 11 minute delay that's killing me, because those are avoidable. Being stuck in some tragic thing where the belt 66 is shut down, whatever. There's nothing you can do about that. You can do something. You got to provide yourself a buffer.
Well, I want to hear your theory.
I don't know, dude,
as to why what Eric is doing is just as disrespectful.
I know. I don't know, but it's tough to defend Eric when he's doing that as well, when he's missing segments all the time.
I know, but do we?
I got to poop.
Yeah. By the way, why is he? He says
that with a minute left in the commercial break.
He's using that as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think? Do you think because he's here? Do you get more angry at Eric or do you get more angry at JP?
No, when I get more angry at JP, 100%. Okay. And I don't know, but I'm having a tough time defending EB's actions as well.
I will say when I could make the case,
JP makes an excellent case, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Of you guys are always all mad at me. Everyone's pissed off at me, but EB's constantly farting in the hallway with people.
So we can't punish a start of the show tardiness until Eric cleans up his act.
Basically, what you're saying. Basically.
So this is just going to be a constant.
Yeah.
Great.
I don't know. We're just talking it out.
I know.
I don't think, I mean, we don't, I mean, that's above our pay grade. As far as punishment for JP, like real punishment, maybe it should be written up. Could CK write him up?
Oh, that's the old school.
Old school punishment. So corporal old. Punishment.
That is so old school. You know what also? This is what really ricks me.
Threatened to rip his contract up.
This is dock his pay.
Yeah.
Oh.
That'll get him here on that.
Yeah. This is what really ricks me about it. Both JP and Eric, I guess, mm-hmm. both the tardiness, is that what we say just falls on deaf ears.
But it's not what we say. Eric is the one that's hardest on him.
I know, mm-hmm. but we say it to JP too, but also we say it to Eric. Yeah. We tell Eric mm-hmm. all the time, like, come on, like, we need you. Where mm-hmm. are you? Come on. Right. I mean, you know, you got to know how long the breaks are, and it kind of just goes in one ear, out the other. Right. That's the most frustrating part, is that you feel like you have no authority. You feel like what you say and what you do, what you know, it doesn't matter.
I don't think this one's on us. I think this is a JP professionalism thing. Maybe upper management gets involved some sort of way.
I know, but if you do that, then all of a sudden JP is going to tattle and bring Eric down with him.
Again, they may not care that Eric's, that's part of Eric's charm. His lollygag.
can you believe
part of our charm. All right. Well, speaking of some of that stuff, let's do a big deal, little deal when we come back, our own version of it.
Okay.
And Lurch had a miserable time in Nashville. Let's try to place a psychotherapist again.
Again?
All right.
Hey, I got to let you know that today's episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep. Show your support for Drab and Valdez by heading to don'tsleepenergy.com right now. When you get there, use that promo code BITTIES for 10% off on every order. Need a quick boost to get through that CrossFit workout? Pound a 2-ounce energy shot. Need to stay ready in case your wife calls you into action unexpectedly? Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. Throw some swag in your cart before you check out. And remember, don't sleep. It makes you great. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Welcome back to Bit Season, episode 142. We tease going into break. It's time for Bit Season's Bit Deal or Little Deal.
Yeah. Are you going to play the game show music for me, Valdez?
I know. Although, that was, I had to sing on the show this week.
I know. The fight song. So did I.
You will never see me do karaoke.
I've been there, done that. You already know. All right. Big deal, little deal, Bit Season edition. I think some people might know what I'm going to bring up here.
Oh.
On the show this past week, the day that JP was late, mere minutes after he got here.
I think it was the second segment. But
yes, but yeah, minutes later.
Minutes later.
JP chimed in on Lurch's discussion with the guys about wanting to book John Boogshiambi on the show. Okay, first off, you don't have to have silly radio instincts like Drab T-shirt and Matt Valdez to know that booking a baseball guest the day or the day before the NFL season kicks off is not a great idea in Washington, D.C.
Especially in terms of ratings.
Yes. I mean, A, nobody cares. B, nobody cares. C, nobody cares. People barely care about baseball in June and maybe a little bit in October when there's some excitement or if you're the local team is good. And our local team is in last place, I think. We're close to it.
Baseball is very regional.
It's irrelevant right now. Yeah, and it's certainly irrelevant
here.
The week Jaden Daniels is making his debut.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why Lurch, he's been doing this so long. And we always sell the guys. Remember, you're not doing a show for yourself. You're doing a show for the listeners. The majority of the listeners, for the masses. Yeah. Broadcasting.
By the way, just imagine that segment right now. If Jason did that and we had him on yesterday, okay? Mm-hmm. Just envision this, all right? So obviously they're not going to ask him about the Nationals, right? How could you? It's hard enough getting questions for Mike Rizzo, a weekly segment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be nothing but national storylines to John Shambi and Jason doing 99% of the questioning.
Yeah,
that's not a recipe for good radio.
Well. None of that. And look, Shiambi's awesome. Like I love having him on the show a few times this summer. I think it's usually pretty great. And you and I are big baseball fans.
Yeah, I know. But
so we do like it. But there's a time and place.
Yes.
July 9th is a great time for John Shiambi to be on the show.
I would agree.
Not September 6th. So I think most people could figure that out, like could understand. But what you have to, dude, they're fighting for ratings every segment,
every day.
It's not, you can't just totally punt stuff. Like there's some stuff we have no control over, right? Mike Rizzo every week, Wednesdays at 9 o'clock.
It's a sponsored segment.
The station makes money from it. The Nationals, it's an agreement thing that we have on every single week. It's above our pay grade. We're having a guest on tomorrow talk about the American Gaming Association and sports betting. It's not something that I think any of us would typically book on the show. It's just something that we were asked by, asked to put on,
higher ups
to have on the show tomorrow. Yeah. There's some stuff we just can't do anything about. But for the most part,
we can't. We're not in the position to tell people to go F themselves,
right?
Or say
you're clawing for ratings, right? And the way it works, I think we can kind of discuss this on Bit Season, is that the guys get bonuses on how they finish. First place, second place, third place,
mm-hmm.
and in our demographic. They're fighting for money. They're fighting for mm-hmm. ratings. They're fighting for that spot. And we know where we stand. And so every segment, you want to do a great segment. You don't want to punt a segment and talk about baseball in the week the NFL is when 30 times amount of people care about the Commanders this week than they do about baseball. It's just the way it is. There's a time and place for everything. So I don't think that has to be over-explained, as we just over-explained it, that why we having Xiaomi on the show wasn't a great idea.
No, but it, I thought it was a good idea to at least explain our thoughts, because I'm sure there's some people out there that'd be like, well, if the guy's one on, why can't we just have John on?
No, I like baseball. Yeah, people do like baseball, but not the amount of people like baseball right now. Look, that we need to, if you want to talk baseball.
I wish we could do 4 hours of golf talk, but I'm realistic about it. I know no one cares. That's right. I'm realistic about it. I'm not producing a show. I'm not producing a show that would make myself listen for 4 hours.
Yeah. And there's some stuff that we could, of course, do better. And or that maybe, why do you have this person on the, it is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got to have Bill Roth on every other Friday. Talk about Virginia Tech, because we're partners with Virginia Tech. So there's just some things that we have to do.
At 980, we're partners with Maryland Terrapins football. And
Hey, I'm digging the Locksley.
So am I.
I want more Locksley on the show.
I am too, but that's just
more
me.
Locksley on the show.
But I understand not everyone's a big Maryland Terps football guy.
I haven't got to the big deal, little deal yet. All right. So Lurch is going on this thing, and Lurch and I are having a friendly back and forth about why Xiaomi can't go on the show today or this week. And JP says, Lurch, whose show is it?
Oof.
All right. How Rick should I be at that comment? Big deal, little deal, whose show is it?
Oof.
You tell me, Valdez.
Okay. All right. Let me digest.
I can't tell you how many DMs I've gotten about that and text messages.
About whose show is it?
Wow. What did you think when JP said that? Did you fall out of your chair? Did you notice my response? Did you remember my response?
Did you tap out?
Tapped out. Did not publicly have a back and forth with JP about it.
Well, it's hard to have a back and forth with JP.
Was I insulted? Of course, I was insulted.
Yes.
Is that a big deal or a little deal? Was JP just trying to Joan and be funny?
That's what I'm trying
to
think.
Or was
that
just like the way he kind of views us?
This is what I think. I think that, you know how people say, you know what the cliche is? What's the cliche? Drunk words or sober thoughts.
Yeah.
You ever heard that cliche before? Mm-hmm. I think JP had a slip up. I think, now this is just me speculating. I think JP was trying to be funny, but there's a bit of truth that came out when he said that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Look, I'm not saying they can't have those feelings. Like, they created the Junkies. It is their show, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I like to be valued, and I think I'm in a position, and you and I are at a position where we're on the show because we're valued, and this is an important show, and management believes that this show needs good producers, right?
Yeah. So do you?
So
feel
I didn't publicly say anything, but of course, I'm like, what the hell was that, right?
Yeah,
because it didn't seem funny to me. And I'll be honest, EB has said stuff like that before.
Yeah, he has.
But EB, when EB says it, it's funny. I don't know. When EB says it, it's funny. When we're screaming at each other, we're having a back and forth, or we're jawing at each other, and he takes digs at us, or
we wouldn't have anything if it weren't for the show.
Yeah, those kind of comments, or you'll never be successful. No, but basically he says we could do the show without producers.
Yeah,
he said that before. Maybe that was on the same level, but I remember kind of blowing it off and laughing at it. But it's also kind of the way you say things sometimes. EB's just, I don't know, he's more humorous. So maybe it was JP's attempt at being funny. I didn't say anything on air, but I asked him, I was like, dude, can you come over here for a second during the commercial break? Mm-hmm. You don't even know what I said to him, but I was like, can you just listen to me without having a response ready to fire back?
Oh.
That's how I let it off. Cause I, cause I, I knew he was just going to interrupt me.
Yes. I can't hear you when you're talking.
Hey, what is it? I want you guys to be ready for when I drop. There's this guy on Instagram that's like, I don't know. He helps people. He's a lawyer and he helps people with their like back and forth, like how to win arguments. And one of the things his hotlines is, I can't hear you when you're interrupting me. Okay. So I want you guys to be ready for when you hear me tell JP that on the show, because he's the king interrupter. I've been waiting to use it for months and I keep forgetting about it.
All that's right. Your ace up your sleeve.
So I
can't hear you when you interrupt.
I can't wait to say that. All right. So I said, JP, I don't want you to interrupt me. I just want you to listen to me. What I said to him, I said, dude, you make comments like that and you're going to find yourself with two new producers. I said, you can't talk to people. Like, you make us feel not worthwhile. You're going to have a board op that shows up 1 minute before the show and leaves 1 minute after the show, and a phone screener making $10 an hour that doesn't book guests and doesn't put any input in on the show, doesn't build your outlines, doesn't do any of that. You'll just get people who don't care about the show.
Punch a clock.
Valdez and I are heavily invested and we care about your guys' success. So don't make comments like that. Like, that's a good way to get me to quit.
So when you say stuff like that, when you diminish the role on the show, it also it opens up the floodgates for other people to think that way.
I don't want people thinking that.
Like that's when people hear that,
they think they do think oh, I'm a phone screener or yes. You're a board op.
Yes.
No, like we do a lot. And
so what did he say when you said that?
I think one of the big things, we help create a fun atmosphere on the show, and we're always trying to have fun and get the guys give 100%.
Do you think maybe that some of our doing, like for instance, we're the show clowns? You know what I mean?
No, look, CK is a huge star in this company, right?
Yeah.
CK, when he heard it and we briefly chatted about it, it was real quick. He said, dude, that's the same stuff they said to me in 1999. Like, they can just be jerks at times, right? So I think he was just being a jerk, and it is what it is, and it's kind of BS that they do that, but yeah, it sucks. He never apologized.
He didn't. And so you, after, and then he, after you said, after
he
you
didn't
said,
he didn't apologize, and then he tried to bring up something. So a few weeks ago, and I said, dude, if you have a problem with something that happened a few weeks ago, either you should have brought it up then or save it for a different conversation. I don't want you to be defensive and come at me with a retort when I'm telling you what right now. Like, don't turn the tables on me. I want you to listen to how I'm feeling, basically.
It's like a Terminator.
I don't know. It was. And then I walked away and I was like, I don't really
did
care.
You feel,
I'll be
did
honest,
you feel,
no,
I was, did
I just
you feel
felt
better?
Like, no, as soon as I walked away and I was like, nah, I don't really care anymore. it was really weird. I was like, I kind of felt, I told
you
him felt how I felt.
You felt better after
I felt
getting
better.
It off your chest.
I was very calm about it. I wasn't angry. I kind of just told him how I felt. But then I went off to it and I was like, ah, that probably wasn't even that big a deal, what he said on air. And I really don't care. But he didn't. He never did apologize.
So it started as a big deal and then turned into a little deal.
I think so. I don't even know if it started as a big deal. I just kind of like was sitting there for about 5 minutes before the break. And I was like,
words hurt.
Yeah, I don't know if it hurts, but it was just annoying.
No, because I understand what you're saying, because a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people don't understand what we do.
Right.
And it's hard. And even worse, it's hard to explain what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have a hard time being respected, I feel like. Not necessarily by the guys. I think the guys probably respect us the most. I think it's more so listeners that don't really understand what we do or what we try to do or and what we,
I don't really get that feeling.
It just kind of adds to that.
No, because we get told every day, dude, that people love what we do on the show, that we're big parts of the show.
Your messages must be different than mine.
Valdez, huge fan. Yeah. You're awesome on the show. You make me laugh every day. Your zings. Yeah. Maybe people don't understand the behind the scenes stuff, but it is what it is. It was a dick comment. He was being a dick.
Okay.
And of course I like the joning. Remember, I always say I like the fighting. I like the joning, but
Yeah, I will say you can't be. I like the fighting, and then one day be in your feels about it. This is what it is. I figured it out. I have an aha moment.
Okay,
we take pride in our work.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say we both do that?
Yeah.
And when you attack our work ethic and what we do and our sacrifice mm-hmm. for the show, we feel personally attacked.
Right.
Would you agree in that sense?
I'd say so.
So that's why it hit home. Because I'm the same way. If you attack how hard I work or the sacrifices you make for the show or everything you're trying to do for the show, we're pretty selfless when it comes to the show. And when you don't appreciate it and when you scoff at it, I think it digs deep.
Man. You're like
I got off of being Jason's psychiatrist last week.
You're double dipping. You're going back to that well.
Yeah, I'm really going back to that psychiatrist
all right.
well.
All right. So speaking of Jason. Yeah. How did he have a miserable time in Nashville? Can I give you my theory?
Can I give you my theory after you give me your theory?
Yeah. I think he had a good time. I think he had a great time in Nashville, and I think he's pretending that he didn't have a good time. He's building this character. I think he's creating a character that he's miserable in his life.
He's the all shucks, woe is me guy?
Yes. I think he had a good time with his family.
Playing victim all the time on air.
Oh, he's surprised that there were so many people. I mean, where has he been for the last two decades? Of course, Broadway is a massive packed. It's a mini Bourbon Street.
My theory is Jason would have had a good time if Virginia Tech would have won. The loss.
But wasn't he doing all that stuff before the Virginia Friday night?
I know, but also he left after the Virginia Tech. I think in hindsight, when he thought about the trip overall in his mind is a dud because the main reason of going there was to watch the Hokies play Vanderbilt. So overall, dud, because his fondest memory is a bad memory of Virginia Tech losing.
I think he either had a great time and he's pretending that he didn't, or he's creating this character that is, I don't know, just a miserable person.
Mr. Miz.
The Miz.
Yeah, right? The Miz.
Because I don't understand. Like, you're with your family. You're with your wife. You're with your kids, her friends. Dude, how did you not have a great time?
You probably don't have that many like family trips left,
you,
right?
Because they're going to be friends. You're getting free meal, or getting hooked at the restaurant.
Also, her daughters are probably going to move on at some point and have their own families, and not do family vacations all the time. There are probably only certain handful of family vacations you have left.
This is what he should have came back. It should have been more of like my Ocean City trip recap. Now, I'm not telling him how to do his job, but.
There
are certain aspects of Ocean City and the trip that was a nightmare, right?
Uh-huh.
But overall, I had a great time. I let people know I had a good time. I love spending time with my kids and making special memories. But you pick out a couple funny things or two here that made it a nightmare. Oh, yeah. This guy's Jason Aldean's restaurant. He spilled his drink on me and I shoved him or whatever. You know what I mean? Like something happened.
Yeah.
But overall,
I was having a great time until at Morgan Wallen's bar, some chick puked in the bushes.
Also, by the way, how does he not know these guys aren't running the bars? What? Oh, I can't believe it. Did you know Morgan Wallen isn't the general manager of the bar in Nashville? Okay, he just loans his name out. What, do you think all these country stars, all the top 10 guys are all...
Yeah, you go on tour, then you start working the kitchen.
Yeah.
Also, real quick, before you tell Jason how to do his job.
Yeah.
Here's another running theory that I had.
Mm-hmm.
He made sure to say on air... He was live betting Vanderbilt the entire time, like from the stands. I don't think he was. Jason would never defend, so you
don't know that he's upset about the game.
So Jason, I actually think it's the opposite. I think Jason was live betting Virginia Tech the entire time.
Oh, really?
Yes, because Vanderbilt, that's out of Jason's comfort zone. That's out of Jason's range. Mm-hmm. Jason never bets an underdog like that, especially Vanderbilt, who is a 14-point underdog. So I think
he was hammering
the Hokies. Mm. And then the reverse lie on air.
Yeah, because it wouldn't make sense to be live betting Vanderbilt.
Right.
Because they jumped out to the early
lead. They jumped to the early lead.
Yes, you'd be the opposite.
Especially when he thought the favorite was going to end up winning.
You sniffed that out. Is sports betting even legal in Tennessee? Or is he like...
It might not be.
I don't know.
You might have to look that up. That's just a theory I had. I was able to pick up on it. Okay, anyways, so you're talking about your trip and what you have done differently.
No, I'm just saying that, like, I don't believe that he had a miserable time.
It's hard to believe. And to think...
And if he did have a miserable time, it's really sad. Like, that legitimately bums me out.
But this is what I don't understand, is... Your entire weekend is deemed unsuccessful, miserable, failure of a trip because there's too many people there. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, that doesn't...
Does this play into your allegophoria or whatever?
Agoraphobia. Yeah, I'm already over. No one's ever tweeted me or told me I was onto something.
No, somebody tweeted me the other day, said that the Bish's... Agoraphobia was in his Nashville recap, kind of gave it a spot on to being someone who's agoraphobic.
Yeah, you struggle with that.
Yeah, that is a hard word for me to say.
Where's my back padding machine?
you might be on to something.
You know what? Armchair psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. I might be a psychiatrist after this. But just for... You know what I mean? Like, your entire trip hinges on the amount of people that are there. Mm. Like, what does he think? It's the Walking Dead and no one's going to be around?
Have you been to Nashville?
No, I want to go.
I don't understand something. How these bars, right, have bands on every different floor. And he said, like, the Eric Church bar or whatever, he said the third floor is quiet. I'm having a hard time visualizing that. Like, how is the all the other floors rocking? It's so loud. So many people. You can't hear yourself think. But then the third floor is nice, peaceful, and quiet.
No, didn't he say it was acoustic? Someone was acoustic.
I know, but isn't the sound from all the other floors?
My guess is these places have high quality soundproofing in them.
Okay.
That's my guess.
So you really can't hear what's going on the other
really
floors.
Really can't hear it. But that's my biggest, not pet peeve, but... Like, don't you understand? Like, it's crowded in places. Don't you know how to deal with?
So he shouldn't have gone.
Crowds. Well, if you don't like crowds, then you can't go. You're not going to have fun. You know what I mean?
You seem like a Nashville guy.
I would love to go to Nashville.
You're white. You love country. You love drinking. Your next golf trip should be in Nashville.
I don't think Nashville has very many
Oh, they're not known for their golf courses?
I don't think
courses.
They're known for golf courses.
Oh, all right.
I would love to visit Nashville. Wait,
didn't they just have a LIV golf tournament there?
They did.
Hard to get on course?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I can get on those courses. I can't even get on courses around here.
Yeah, about these is having a drama.
I'm having a golf drama.
We need a golf GM to hook them up.
What else was I going to say? Nashville and New Orleans. I would kind of put those two together. Two places that I would love to visit.
Bachelor trip parties. Cities.
It's just fun cities.
Hey, I said, you know me. As Cakes always reminds people, New Orleans, my second favorite city.
Hey, do you think... Here's another theory I have about Nashville and Jason.
By the way, I've never been to Nashville.
Do you think Jason is too old for Nashville? Do you think maybe that had something to play?
No, I think there's probably a lot of... I mean, it is a city for bachelorettes.
Yeah.
But I think there's... I mean, they got old people. I mean, the Grand Ole Opry and all that stuff. I mean, there's plenty of old people.
Yeah.
But Nashville's probably changed a lot in the last two decades. It's not known for the Grand Ole Opry.
In my head, Nashville is like a young...
Drinking city.
Yeah, young
party
drink,
city.
Yeah, party city.
He might be, but
kind of like a bigger Dewey. That's how I would classify Nashville. Like Broadway would remind me of like a bigger Dewey.
Yeah, but every time I'm in the French Quarter, there's people of all ages drinking, having a good time. It's not just for 25-year-olds, right? So if that's the way in New Orleans, I'm sure it's the same way in Nashville. He's just grumpy.
Or he's
lying on the air about what kind of time he had.
What about this? I'm full of Jason's theories.
Right.
Do you think he was in dad mode?
Oh, his daughter was drinking too much. It was annoying him.
Well,
he was concerned.
Not that she was drinking too much, but like he's obviously a concerned dad.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's got to have his radar up when his two daughters are out with him drinking, mm-hmm. having dinner. And then if they're staying like in the same Airbnb.
Too many drunk people in his van or whatever.
Yeah, and then the daughters are going out at night and then him
he's staying
and,
up
and him
late
and Teresa.
He's worried.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, there might be some of that. Maybe that's why. But he should have said that.
Yeah,
you should have said that. Like,
but he'd also maybe he doesn't want to put his daughter in a bad light. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
So,
lighten up.
You know, lighten up, France. give us your theories.
Yeah,
tweet us your theories about Jason and why he didn't like his trip to Nashville.
All right. Also
give me props for agoraphobia.
Tomorrow on the show, we're gonna break out the touchdown parlay. We're gonna try it again, bring it back weekend parlay for like the fourth time. I think this one could be on to something
all right,
here.
All right.
So 7:45 tomorrow, the touchdown parlay.
Sounds good.
All right. Five plays, four from the junkies, one from behind the glass.
Yes, we'll all come to a consensus.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games on Thursday and Friday, and we'll see you back on the junkies.
See ya.
Later.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.